Can't believe 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday. And so I want to strongly encourage those of you who call yourselves followers of Jesus to be reminded of the mission of Jesus in our lives. I was in the devotionals this week. We're in the book of Luke. And in chapter 19, Jesus has this encounter with Zacchaeus. And there's this whole play that takes place in terms of his interaction and connection. But at the end of that story, Jesus tells us something about himself. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." And if we're followers of Christ, we're supposed to emulate the one in which we follow. And so what an opportunity that we have a couple times a year. I mean, all year long, we get a chance to reach out to people, but this time of year especially, Christmas and Easter. And I know that there are some who say, "Well, Dan, you know, why don't we just celebrate the resurrection and just focus on that?" Because we are resurrected people, and we get to celebrate it 365 days out of the year. But there is something unique in our culture still to this day where people are more open to an invitation than other times of the year. And so I want to encourage you to think about who you're praying to invite. We've got 8 services, you know, here. And I want to encourage you, if you have places that you could change or move to, that you'd come Saturday. And so you can see the 3 on Saturday that we have. Now, you go where your friend goes. But just to make room, we just know what Sunday's going to be. You can see what it is even this morning, and we're not even Easter yet. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, for that. But you go where your friend goes. And I really want us to be reminded how important this is, because eternity hangs in the balance. Do we believe what the resurrection is all about? And if we're resurrected people, then does that at least put on our hearts to extend an invitation? One of the practical ways that I do it is I look through my contact list and I just start throwing out, because it's cool that it's going to be online as well. I can invite anybody anywhere in the world to be able to witness, to be able to hear a message. It's not your job to convince anybody about Jesus. It's our job to live like Jesus and to share him with others. So we're going to pray right now for who that may be. And even during the service, if you think of somebody, go ahead and text them, invite them. But I want you to be praying, "God, who do you want me to invite that you've put into my path this year?" Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for leading, guiding, directing our steps. And I pray that you would help us to think right now of a family member, friend, maybe it's a coworker, someone at school, or a neighbor. Maybe it's a coffee shop we visit frequently. Lord, I don't know who that may be, but I know that you know. And I pray that you would just give us the courage, the opportunity to live and to extend an invitation, to hear something that may potentially be life-changing or eternally life-changing in the life of another. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, welcome back to our series called Questions, or Questions Jesus Asked. And I want to remind you that Jesus, in a day and age of information, that we're always looking for the answer. And if there's anybody who had the answer, it was Jesus, God in human form. Ask any question and he would have the answer. And yet what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is that Jesus asked 300 questions. And you think, what do you mean? Why are you asking questions? Could it be that Jesus knows the answers are actually best understood and lived out in the questions than actually being answered to directly? In fact, people ask Jesus directly a lot of questions. 183 times they asked him questions. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, he answered 3 directly, 3 of them. And so there are some questions that Jesus asked that we kind of want to walk through. Now, we're not going to spend the next 3 years walking through the questions Jesus asked, but we always have questions for God. But I wonder if we understand that God actually has some questions for us. So the last few weeks, we looked at a different ones of them. And the last 2 weeks, we had Trevor and Steve preach on 2 amazing ones. Didn't they do a great job, by the way? Doing an amazing job. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Steve. I just love that we have great preachers and teachers here at Valley Real Life. This week, the answer seems to be like a no-brainer. Like, why are we even asking this question? So let me just throw it out there. Here's what happens in Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. Jesus asks this question: "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Well, the answer is no. So let's pray. Have a great day. That should be it. There should be nothing said. I mean, it seems like such an obvious answer, and yet our answer may be one thing, but there may be a different answer based on internally what's driving us or how we live. You see, we all have values that guide our lives. All of us do. In fact, let me be clear, values are individual beliefs that motivate us to act one way or another. It's the driving force, especially in ethical decision-making, but in all decision-making, it is the driving force. In fact, two people could be acting the very same way. On the outside, they look like they're the same, doing the same things, but internally, they could have completely different motivations, completely different values that drive the external. And the values is what affects our soul. So do our values match up with the answer that we want to give Jesus when what is driving or is anything worth more than our soul? So here's the question for you today. What are some of your core values? Even though you may not have verbalized them, all of us are being driven by them. What are some of the core values that drive your life? And it doesn't matter whether you're age 6 or you're age 106. There are values that you are living by. Let me give you just a couple examples. Maybe one of your core values is physical health. Somehow they got a picture of me while I was working out. I don't know, you know, where they got that from. But here's how you know whether you have that value or somebody else is. How closely do you pay attention to what you eat, to what you drink? How often do you work out? How much time do you spend focused on your physical health? And that's a great value, but you know that's a core value based on the amount of time and energy that you put into your physical health. Maybe for some of you, one of your core values is financial security or prosperity. So you're a person who puts major time, extra time at work just to make a little bit more, to look at where your investments are. You're really planning for the future. You maybe follow in detail the Dave Ramsey plan for financial success, or you have or are working towards incredible financial goals in your savings or 401ks. Now, you may not have stated that's one of your core values, but you're living and you know that's one of the internal drivers. Again, it's not a bad core value. Maybe one of your core values is safety. Yeah, best picture I could find, you know, on that. Maybe you do anything you can to keep yourself or others from experiencing harm, right? You're that person. In fact, here's one of the indicators. When you look to buy a new car, you don't look at the performance, you look at the safety rating. That's one of your highest values. Now, we're not saying that everybody shouldn't look at the safety rating, but you know that that's one of your drivers. You avoid things like risk because of the potential harm that it actually could bring into your life. So is safety one of your highest values? Maybe for others of you, it's happiness. So you will choose to do most anything that you think will make you happy. That could be a relationship, could be getting something new from Amazon once or twice a week. Some of you are elbowing each other, which is awesome to me right now. If you avoid conflict like the plague because it makes you so unhappy, you could realize that maybe internally you have a drive for happiness, which would be a reflection of our culture, wouldn't it? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are core values that our nation is founded on. But here's the interesting, you understand the priority of your core values or only when it comes in conflict or storms in life. You actually get to see with these core values you have to say which value is higher than the others. Because the higher the core value, the more effect it has on your soul. Let me remind you of how I saw this probably most demonstrated through something called COVID. Okay, we got to see people's values and our values as a country and as a nation. Our values that were at odds or at war with one another were two good values in and of themselves, but you got to see what people's highest values were when it came to these two words, freedom, safety. Freedom or safety. And those were at odds with one another and you could see it played out on a regular basis. If your core value was freedom, then you were willing to take risks with your health as long as it didn't infringe upon whatever your value of freedom looked like. And so you wanted to live in states and be a part of governments and be part of that accentuated the highest value of freedom. Now, if you're one of your highest values was safety, then you were willing to give up certain freedoms in order to be or feel safe. So if freedom was your highest value, you were actually angry with other people and churches who told you what you could or could not do. If safety was your highest value, then you were frustrated with people who didn't seem to care about the lives of others and were unwilling to do the masking, testing, or shots, or whatever it may be. And I'm not saying that one is greater than the other, but you can totally see how our nation was completely divided because of these core values that became at odds with one another. So it is when it comes to the values of the world versus the value of the kingdom. And the higher the value is, the more, as I said, and we'll say over and over and over, it will impact our souls. You see, we always have time for, resources for, and energy for what we value the most. Do you know what your values are? Jesus asked this question: what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Your verbal answer to that is not going to be the right answer. Your answer to that is going to be your core values that are lived out. And the priority of those values is going to have that greatest impact. So what are the values of Jesus versus the values of this world? There's another passage in the Bible that Jesus kind of illustrates this by telling this story. And I believe it's in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Here's what it says. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, which is greed. He says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So somebody's driven by the value of possessions, and Jesus is encountering that and facing that head on. He says, and he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I know, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is actually required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, some people read that and be like, see, God's against money. It's not what it says. So he said, God's against resource, against planning ahead, against having 401ks, he's against those things. No, he's not. He's talking about the priority of those things. The last sentence was the most important in Jesus' parable. So it is the one who lays up treasure for himself, priority value, and is not rich towards God, lower value in this person's life. This person made a decision to say, my financial security, my investment, my wealth is the highest value in my life. God is lower somewhere in that value. And Jesus says that is what's gonna affect your soul. Help reverse those things and you'll find the way of life. In fact, let's take a look at the value specifically of this world. And I wanna read this next one slowly because I think that there are three core values that this world and our culture specifically most embraces, and it's reflected in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. Okay, guilty. I love to fly fish. I love to golf. I love the Seahawks. You know that. I love my family. I love my wife. I love you. We have relationships. Does that mean that I'm living contrary to Scripture? No. We're talking about what's the greatest value, what's the greatest priority. Keep that in mind as we keep reading. For when you love the world in comparison, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Is the love of the world the highest priority and value in your life? Well, what are the world's values? For the world offers, here's number one, a craving for physical pleasure. That's value number one. Number two, a craving for everything that we see. Number three, pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world, and this world is fading away, doesn't last forever, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God, higher value, will live forever. So do you notice the value of our culture is represented in those three things? In fact, theologians or people who have preached this passage and others have come down to an understanding that the three greatest temptations that you and I will face is reflected in these three values. One, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. These are the core values of our culture, and it isn't just our culture, it's in you and me. This is what we are drawn to. We are in this world, and our bodies, our minds, our hearts are going to be drawn to the values of this world, and we have to make a decision. Will we follow the values of this world and embrace those, or will we follow the values, higher priority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? In fact, to go back to the story of Adam and Eve, this is where these values were first introduced. If you go back to the story of Adam and Eve, you got the serpent who's there tempting Eve. Well, we'll call it an apple, even though it never made any sense to me because we still eat apples today and I like apples. You know. But anyway, so there's an apple that's being offered to Eve and she takes it. But I want you to notice the three examples of the temptation from the very beginning of the values of the world. For in Genesis 3:6, it says, the woman was convinced, she saw that the tree was beautiful, lust of the eyes, and its fruit looked delicious. For tasting, that's what it's meaning there, lust of the flesh, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, pride of life. So she took of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. God said, don't do this, it's going to destroy you. She's now faced with a different set of values, and she has to choose. Do I choose God's values and entrust myself to him, or do I choose the world's values because of the enticement that it draws me into and the temporary fulfillment that it brings? If it wasn't temporary fulfilling, let's be honest, we wouldn't engage in it. And so she gets drawn into that, and you and I have been struggling with that ever since. In fact, I don't have time today. For those of you guys who want to go a little bit deeper, Jesus faces the exact same three temptations in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And he shows us how to combat those things with the values of the king. Now, all of us have a primary temptation. Do you know which one's yours? Can you see, based on your motivations in life, the values that kind of draw you in? Is it pleasure? You know, is it sight? You know, the covetousness? Is it pride? I'll be honest with myself and before you guys, I know that if left to my own doing, it would be lust of the flesh. I can look back on my life to be, okay, what am I drawn into all the way back to middle school age? What is the thing that can pull me away from the values of God that when they're in competition, I can kind of wrestle with that? And it's not just on the sex and sexuality side of things. It's also on food. It's also on gluttony. It's also on those drinks or just wanting to feel better if I'm not feeling good in my own body. What is it for you? Can you see where some of those motivations actually see itself played out? In fact, let's jump in just a little bit deeper. Jesus says the core values of the world, number one, is physical pleasure. This is lust of the flesh. If it feels good, do it. Heard that statement before? If it feels good, go after it, desire it, have it. This is the abuse, you know, of drugs, alcohol, sex, food. You know, this should also be unhealth of physical fitness, where you're so caught up in physically trying to feel good about your body where it becomes an overvalue. Again, none of these things are bad in and of itself and in its proper placement. Don't mishear God on this. It's when it becomes a higher value, a destructive value for our souls. And so we can find ourselves, if you look at our culture today, when it comes to sex, sexuality, and identity, it doesn't matter what God says. If I feel this way, then I will engage in this. You can see how this destroys marriages, right? Where it's like, well, I just don't feel this, so I'm gonna engage in this because I feel better when I'm with this person. Are we drawn to that? Again, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't do things that feel good, but what's the core value? What's the driver? Secondly, Jesus is saying that the second core value of the world is the craving for everything that we see. So it's lust of the eyes. I grew up with a children's set of books called the Berenstain Bears. Anybody else ever heard of those things? Okay, so my parents, we'd read those things, and one of them is the Case of the Gimmies. Okay, the Case of the Gimmies, you know, is a story about this girl who anytime they see the Berenstain Bear kids, anytime they saw anything, they wanted that. I want, I have to have. And then I realized, I'm like, yeah, that's every kid who's ever lived. Right, as soon as they walk into something, as soon as they're being advertised to, they see something, gimme, 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 I want to have. And what's funny is that we become less content with what we do have because we're always on the lookout for what everybody else has. And then I look in the mirror and be like, uh-oh, me too. I'm the same way. Ever realize that you really love your new car or the car that's new to you until you're in somebody else's new car? And you're like, mine's not so good anymore. You walk into somebody else's house. You loved your house till you actually visited that other person's house. You loved your job until you saw somebody else's job. You loved your spouse until you started to look after other spouses and thought the grass is greener on the other side. How easy it is for us to be drawn into that temptation or the craving for everything. Isn't this what our American society is about? Right? See it, want it, have it. That's the value. Now, again, is it bad having a car, a house, great resources? No. The question is, what's the priority and value? The value and the priority of that in your lives will affect your soul. You will find yourself doing this, if you're a follower of Jesus, with the priorities of Jesus and engaging in some of these values and compromising yourself over time, little by little, because we're drawn into this value, which you know inside of your soul is at war, and we're constantly at battle. Third, the pride in our achievements or what we own, right? That's the pride of life. Again, we come out of the womb with this. Besides the word no, what's the second most common phrase a child learns? Mine, in the words of Nemo and those seagulls. Mine, 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 mine. Okay, you don't have to teach kids to be possessive. You have to teach them to share, right? Because we think we're accumulating these possessions. We have pride, and this is mine. And so some of us, we know we have pride in this if we don't want to loan out our things. What will they do to the things in which we own? They might dent it, they might wreck it, or we compare ourselves based on pride, our status based on our age and stage in life, as we look across and be like, look what I have comparatively to what other people have. And we can find ourselves measuring our pride, like we're doing pretty good based on that, which is why the whole keeping up with the Joneses is a real thing in our culture. But then it says the achievements, okay? Have you ever seen or been in a room where resumes are spouted? This is what you've done. We have this at pastors' conferences. Let me just be honest with you. When you go to pastors' conferences, you can feel this kind of ick, you know, underneath the surface when people want to know not just what your name is, but what your title is. You know, because if you say youth pastor, they're like, you're down here. You know, sorry, Tyler. You know, they're just like, you know, the children's pastor, you're a little above here. If you're your lead pastor, oh, now you're worth talking to. And I'm like, well, that's funny. You know what's even worse? Is the second question that gets unasked but asked intuitively all the time, how big is your church? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like it's our church to begin with? Like Jesus is in charge of this thing, not us, but there's this pride of position. And don't shake your head at me because it happens with you all the time. Let me give you an example. You're in a conversation with a group of people and someone introduces themselves and they can't just introduce themselves, they have to introduce themselves by their title. Hi, my name is Jack and I'm the manager at Starbucks. Wow, that's awesome, Jack. You're doing really well. Well, then all of a sudden Deborah's in there saying, well, hi, my name is Deborah and I own 2 Chick-fil-A's. And you're like, wow, you're really making it big time. And then you meet Tim, who happens to be the CEO of Apple. And you're like, wow, there's nobody that's gonna reach that mark until you meet Buzz Aldrin, who says, I went to the moon. You know, you can't top, you know, these achievements and these goals and these things. We introduce people in our culture, how much as important is it as much as our title, as in just as our name. God looks at the name. The title is so secondary, but we can find ourselves priding ourselves. Now, is there anything wrong with goal setting? No. Is there anything wrong with accomplishing? No. Is there anything wrong with doing the best you possibly can do? Things can look exactly the same on the outside, but the motivation on the inside can be completely different. What's your motivation? What's the value that's driving the goals and driving the success of achievement in your life? That's where we have to wrestle, and that is what affects our souls. So when it comes to the values of this world, which one are you drawn most to? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All of us have a drawing. And all of us find ourselves, and you can know where that kind of drawing or where that placement is based on what you might be wrestling, especially if you're a follower of Jesus. But here's the core value. Core value of all the things I just mentioned is it's all about me. That's the value of this world. It's about me. Here's the key. If we live for the values of the world, we will forfeit our very souls to achieve whatever those values are driving us toward. And it's always great to live those values until they come in conflict with kingdom values, and then you have to make a decision. And it's so easy just to skimp a little bit and just to compromise over here and give in a little bit more over here, not realizing how much your soul is actually being affected. But Jesus offers a different way to live. Here's the values of the kingdom. Values of the kingdom is to seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's the highest value. Seek his kingdom above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. To seek the kingdom of God is to see the seek the values of the king. So things like loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, these are central to the core of the kingdom, following God's will, God's word, God's way by his spirit. Those are values of the kingdom. Let me remind you, God's kingdom is wherever his reign and rule is taking place. So it's not like a location. Like, well, I live in the United States of America. That's the kingdom of America. No, no, no. The kingdom of the king is wherever his reign and rule takes place. So it might be a little part over here, a little part over here. Could be this big city over here. Wherever he's king is where his kingdom reigns. In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Reed Moore spoke to a group of business guys, you know, at a group a little bit over a week ago, and he talked about how work can be worship, how going to work can be worship. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God is what 1 Corinthians 10:31 says. So I can go to work and I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm gonna try my absolute best because I'm doing it for the king. I'm not doing it for my boss. I'm gonna live an integrity life. I'm gonna do better than everybody else. And so you see these two people again, both are killing it. One is driven by the values of the king and the other is driven by the values of this world. What are your core values? Because it affects your soul. See, the ultimate value in the kingdom is it's about Jesus. It's about him. It's not about me. One of the questions that has and continues to help me to have this mindset, because I make mistakes, you're gonna make mistakes, as we have a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness every day. Great is his faithfulness. Is, are we living for the dot or the line? Francis Chan, a famous pastor, made this statement kind of famous. And the concept is, I heard this in middle school, is our time here on this earth is a whisper, it's a breath, and it's gone, it's a dot. But the time that we have in eternity is a line that goes on forever, that never ends. And yet so many of us get caught up into the values and priorities of the world as if this was all there is. And so the question is, am I living for the dot, this, or am I living for the line, all eternity? See, but we are citizens of heaven, is what Philippians 3:20 says, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. We are not citizens of the United States of America first. And so when you go through things like COVID, you don't say freedom or safety is your highest values. You say the king is my highest value and the kingdom is my highest value. And even if I don't like one side or the other, I try to find his word, his will, his way to the best of my ability and my understanding. It may look the same on the outside, but you and I know the motivation. And so are we living that practice of the king because our citizen is there? Our citizenship is there. It's interesting because many of you who are financial advisors would say this is an insane illustration. For those of you who rent or have ever rented an apartment or house in your entire life, what if you decided one day you're gonna take out a loan and you're gonna completely remodel this rental? They'd be like, you're insane. Why would you waste all that money because you don't own it? And yet that oftentimes is how we live, as if our house, our moment, our possessions, our job, that this is all there is. Like, no. We're just renting. We're just passing through. And so are the resources, our time, our abilities, our talents being given to the king and to the kingdom? In fact, this past weekend, we had held the funeral service and the celebration of life service for Eric Jensen. It was incredible to see how many people first showed up. It was over 1,200 people that were here. To give you a little context, there are about 650 seats in this auditorium. There were more people outside the auditorium who were on this campus than were inside this room. And what that told me is, even in a humorous moment where Jen, his wife, shared that Eric said he didn't really like people that much, that he obviously had an effect on thousands, that there would be that many people that would come out to honor him. But do you know one of the things that stood out to me is what wasn't mentioned? Whether it be on stage or in the lobby, there was not one mention of what job title he held. There's not one mention of how much money he made. There's not one mention, you know, of all the experiences that he got to chance to live life, you know, to its absolute full here on earth. No, what was mentioned over, over, and over is how well he loved. He loved his family, how well he loved his friends, and most important, the driver of his all was how he loved his Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And you saw that lived out. Was it lived out perfectly if you knew Eric? No. No, none of us are gonna live it perfectly, but it was the values that drove his life. Are you living for the dot or for the line? Another way that other people have said it is, what do you want said at your funeral service? Because your values is actually what's going to be talked about, not some of the other things that seem to consume, me included, our hearts and our minds, which is at war with some of those values. So how do we hold on to the values of the kingdom versus the values of the world? How do we do this? You know what's so cool about Jesus? Jesus gives the answer before he gives the question. He actually tells us the answer before he asks that important question. Two verses earlier, in verse 24, it says this, "Then Jesus said this to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, if you want to be part of my kingdom, if you want to be the person that you're going to give your life to, that you're going to call yourself a Christian or a follower of me, here's the values. Here's what it's going to cost. You must give up your own way.'" He's talking about the way of the world, because that's what we're drawn to. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're gonna lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And then he asks the question, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You see, what Jesus is saying is not popular. I don't like it either. Even to churches, especially here in America today, which is the core values of the kingdom, is a daily submission and surrender to Jesus. It's a daily act. It's a daily desire. It's a daily confession. It's a daily repentance. It's a daily to say, Jesus, your will, your way today. I might feel, I might desire, I might want, I might pursue, but I'm gonna say in all those things, God, your will, your way. I submit my life. That's what he says. If you're gonna follow him, you have to give up our lives. But here's what he's promised: a better one, a more fulfilled one on this side of eternity. Now, I'm not just talking about the next side of eternity, to say this is what I've created you for in this life as well as the life to come. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, that he mentions, I hope you notice this phrase, "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So I wanna encourage you to go on this imperfect journey, to be rich towards God, to invest your values, your time, your life, your energy, your finances, your resources, and yes, your soul into the things that have eternal value for his sake, for your sake, for the good news, and even for others' sake, for his glory. Oh, and one other thing, you and I cannot live fully the values of the kingdom outside of kingdom community. A lot of times we think it's just me and God. No, no, no. I need other people, you do too, to help us on this journey of faith to continue to be reminded, because the powers inside of us and the powers outside in this world are so drawing and they're so alluring and they're so tempting. We find ourselves in that battle daily. I need some other brothers and sisters to help me, and so do you. So with that being said, I want you to evaluate your core values, have conversations beyond our talk right now, and see which aligns to Jesus and what aligns to the world. None of these values, a lot of these values in the world are not bad. They just need to be underneath the values of Jesus. And what is one change that you can make this week? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the values that you give, that you present, that you love. And I pray, Father, as we go on this journey and continue on this journey, that you would help us to truly answer the question based on how we live, internally motivated by the values. Is anything worth more than our soul? No. But help us, Father, to evaluate, to confess, and to live your values, because we know that they are good, they are true, and they are best. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For some of you, I know, because I live this, you're battling in your soul right now. when you come to church, or sometimes the avoidance of coming to church, is because of the battle in your soul. It's the battle over the values that you're living or that you're motivated by versus the values you know that Jesus is calling you to live by. He's there, ready for us to confess once again, not as a shame, but as a way to get us back on the right path. Some of the best confession you and I can do is with other people, and maybe that's why you need to head to the cross. For some of you, it may be just being coming to Jesus. That's your first step. Hard to live for the King if you've not surrendered your life to him as the King of your life. You're still on the throne. What an opportunity now and in the weeks to come as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus to proclaim that in him. There's probably not a better worship song out there than the one that we're gonna sing right now. And whether you're familiar with it or not, I pray that as you contemplate what we've talked about, that these words would ring true in your heart as well as out of your mouth as we sing them. Will you stand with me as we sing?